listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, here on Straight Outta Vegas, we start today in the NFL, where a day after an article came out on ESPN.com, a sit-down interview with Mike McCarthy talking about his departure from Green Bay as Packers head coach, the Bleacher Report came out with a lengthy piece talking about the dysfunction in Green Bay and the deteriorating relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy up until the end. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of what appears to be a little bit of a smear campaign on Mike McCarthy the day after his initial article came out?
Yeah, so to me, I think you bring up a great point, Jonas. Who is the which camp, when there's two sides to a story, and sometimes there's more than two sides, which camp is providing the info for this story? And sometimes you have to read between the lines, because oftentimes the contributors to the story are on background, unidentified. It's pretty easy to say stuff. I mean, all you got to do is jump on Twitter with non-verified accounts to get a feel for, if someone's unidentified, a lot of stuff comes out. Some of it's true, some of it's not. But I think Jonas hit it. This was a story where most of the contributors were from the pro Aaron Rodgers camp. Fez, I tell you, we look at the numbers, we look at the math, we look at the money, cold cash over hot takes. Aaron Rodgers, it has been, I think if you ask the average fan, how good is Aaron Rodgers? You would get, man, he's good, as talented as any quarterback ever in his prime. Hey, he's moving into his mid-30s. He's dropped off a little bit, but if he's healthy, he's still the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, you've got your Fezzik quarterback ratings. Where do you right now today have Aaron Rodgers?
I have him number one, RJ.
So what you're saying is you and the guy on the street, Freddie Fanny Pack, would say the same thing.
Yes, even though the data paints a different story, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Because, one of the numbers... And there's no one number that's perfect for quarterbacks. But I tell you this, if you wanted to make the case that Aaron Rodgers was an all-timer, was as good as any quarterback ever, probably the stat you would have used in his prime, and we'll talk about that in the past tense, Aaron Rodgers' prime, the stat you would have used is yards per attempt. So what does that mean? Go back... Attempt to pass, 10-yard completion. Next pass, incomplete. Yards per attempt, 5. 2 attempts, 10 yards. So what does it do? It benefits you if you complete it, but it really penalizes you if it's dink and dunk. Right? So you got a guy goes might only complete 60% of his passes, but he's going downfield, can have a better yards per attempt than 70% completions, never going downfield. It's a great number. I'd make the case amongst the simple stats and not indexes like QBR or whatever, which adds up a bunch of stats, yards per attempt might be the best stat for quarterbacks. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I agree. And it goes back to the whole overall, how good is a football team, yards per play, very similar stat, yards per attempt for the quarterback.
So up until 4 years ago, all right, so not last season or the season before, season before, season before, but the fifth season back, at that point, Aaron Rodgers had the best yards per attempt in the history of the NFL. And that number was over 8 yards per attempt. Every time, now imagine, you only need 10 yards for a first down. So, kneel once, pass twice, you're looking pretty good. He was that good. All right? Best ever yards per attempt 5 seasons ago, so Aaron Rodgers at 30, let's call it, or 29. Now, in the interim, he's been under 8 yards every season. So 1, 2, 3, 4, with last season being the fourth. And last season, he was below average, meaning the average yards per attempt in the NFL was 7.5. Aaron Rodgers' yards per attempt was 7.4. So up to age 30, Aaron Rodgers is the best yards per attempt quarterback in the history of the game of football. And for the last 4 years, he's been significantly less than that. Last year, below average. Average, and then below that, Aaron Rodgers. So the first question is, Fez, how much of this is nostalgia? How much of this is, I've got to see it three times that he's... I mean, because we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers dropping off for a couple of years. And our only steady guest the entire football season, Greg Cosell, you know, he's been on the herd talking about Rodgers the last couple of years, saying Rodgers is more like a jazz pianist where he's going to make amazing plays, but he isn't following the sheet music necessarily. Quarterbacks like that tend to struggle as they get older because there's a reason that coaches want a rhythm quarterback. Coaches want you to follow the plan, robo quarterback. Why? Because it doesn't take extraordinary athleticism. It takes being a good NFL quarterback with a good system equals good results. That's the way that coaches think. You get a Tom Brady who's better than good, but he's still a system. Well, I don't think a system quarterback, but he's a, what's the right word for it? He's a rhythm quarterback. Tom Brady throws on rhythm, right? He's not improvising a ton. He does when he has to, and sometimes it looks pretty dangerous, but he's a rhythm thrower. Aaron Rodgers isn't. But Aaron Rodgers is like the kid that was so smart he could drink the night before, smoke a little weed, and still get A's at Harvard. Forget anywhere. I mean, that he was that kid. But then the question is, as that kid that never had to do it exactly like everyone else, goes from being physically maybe the best quarterback of all time to physically being, let's say, the fifth or sixth best physical specimen in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, you go from being the best quarterback or one of the best in the NFL to what? Now, you say to being still the best. How can you have a below average yards per attempt and be the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I think I'm giving him a free pass for the injuries, the two collarbone breaks.
So the year before, so last year, let's call it the 18 season, below average. The year before, below average yards per attempt. So now we've got two seasons below average yards per attempt. So which injury are we giving him credit for? Which I'm confused.
Well, he had the leg injury last year. He obviously had the collarbone injury.
How many games did he miss?
He didn't miss that many.
All right. So this was an injury so bad he didn't miss. I'm not sure he missed any games.
Well, he played hobbled, and then I think he missed one after hobbled. They got eliminated.
Okay. Well, what I saw, if I remember, because we had him, he went into the New York Jets and decided all hobbled up, brought him back from a 15-point deficit in the fourth?
Yeah.
It's just which quarterback isn't banged up? And if it was that, then what was the year before?
You know, it seems Russell Wilson is never banged up. That guy never seems to get hurt.
Yeah, I get where you want to change the subject. By the way, let's make sure everyone knows who's talking here so they can get full credit.
He played all 16 games.
Oh, okay. Hobbled. Yes, okay. That was Brad Powers, the guy that's trying to make the excuses for Aaron Rodgers, Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So he plays all 16 games, but it was injuries that caused the below-average performance.
You could make the case last year. However, the data over the past 4 years is striking, and it makes me question why I still have Rodgers as my number one quarterback, RJ.
This sounds like Brad when he says, you know, I think this power rating's wrong. It's like, who made the power rating? Me. I mean, why? I mean, I don't understand it. You really think he's a better quarterback right now than Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I have Mahomes number two.
Okay, so once again, you've got Aaron Rodgers better than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it's so difficult that I've got a guy that's a Hall of Fame quarterback who's been clearly the best quarterback forever, and I got 1 year
Terry
of data.
Terry Bradshaw's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I got 1 year of data on Mahomes, and suddenly I had to jump Rodgers. You can see my difficulty doing that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jonas, when it comes to Russell Wilson, I think in the last 24 hours or so, it seems like his story is taking even more shape.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, a story came out, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, that he has given the Seahawks an April 15th deadline to get a contract done. He is entering the final year of his current deal, and he's not threatening to hold out. He's going to show up to all the team activities and all that, but it's gotten people to thinking and sort of put together some theories as to why this is happening. I know Colin Cowherd mentioned this a month or so ago on Fox Sports Radio, that Russell Wilson could potentially be eyeing New York with his wife Sierra, being in the entertainment industry. And some people have thought, what would it take to trade away Russell Wilson for the Seattle Seahawks in return? So the question is, what does Vegas make of the rumors surrounding Russell Wilson in Seattle?
Well, I mean, to me, first off, the April 15th deadline, you gotta love it. It's almost like I could see a wrestler coming out going, I need a championship title match, and you have a deadline of April 15th.
I've been hanging and banging for years.
So, you know, it feels like there's some professional messaging going on here. Fez, we had a little different take yesterday when you were on Senior Day. And that take was, I've been pondering, sometimes late at night, sometimes on Sundays, I've been pondering how Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Because Brad and I went through the Super Bowl winners, post-Brad Johnson, post-Trent Dilfer, and the Super Bowl losers. And even the losers was almost like, except for like three or four exceptions, Hall of Famers. And then literally a backup quarterback. And this wasn't some fluky, oh, no one knew how good he was. This was after his, 27 touchdowns and three interception year, whatever it was. It was after all that, and he signed to be a backup quarterback, Nick Foles. And here's what struck me. Is if you have a basketball hoop that's a certain diameter, you're paying for outside shooting, right? You're saying there's all these skills. There's defense, there's passing, there's rebounding, and there's outside shooting. And you're going to pay a certain amount for that expertise. But imagine if they made the basket three times as big. All of a sudden now, wouldn't outside shooting become less important? Because the quality you would need to achieve to be good at it, that quality would be a lot lower than it used to be. There'd be a lot of people that could shoot like Steph Curry if the hoop was triple as big.
J.J. Redick's would be a dime a dozen.
I feel like the NFL has changed the rules to benefit offenses, to benefit quarterbacks so much that, yeah, the best quarterbacks are always going to be better than the above-average quarterbacks. But the question is, how much distance, if you can almost score at will, and that might be a little strong, but if it's pretty easy to score with an above average quarterback, how much are you gaining by having an elite quarterback? And my question is, let's consider Russell Wilson to be the third best as you do on your list. I think it's a little high for me. I'd put him more towards five, but still. If you had the 15th best quarterback instead of the fifth best quarterback, but you got him on a rookie deal, and now you've got an extra $25 million to spread around the other positions, could this be that 2, 3, 4 years ago, it's a no-brainer to sign Wilson, but today, that differentiation that allows you to be great as a passer isn't as important as it used to be?
You know, it's a great point that I hadn't really thought about. I guess we could call it the Fitzpatrick
mentioned him yesterday. In the 90s, if a quarterback had 400 yards, it was like talked about for 2 weeks. Fitzpatrick will knock off two or three in a row, 400-yard games, and we're laughing that he's somehow been bamboozled him into another contract. You know, it's like literally Fitzmagic is a punchline to a joke. And if you look at his stats, they're so much better. I wonder if Troy Aikman ever had like three games as good as Fitzmagic had this year. And obviously Troy Aikman is the much, much better quarterback in his prime. The game has just changed so much.
Yeah, and you know what makes Russell Wilson so special is his ability to make the decisions of when to leave the pocket. When his team is compromised and they don't have any pass protection, he is uniquely qualified to be able to move his team down the field.
Great point. That's Steve Fezzik and RJ Bell talking about Russell Wilson and his contract. It's a great point, but here's the question. He's 30 years old. How long is that going to continue? I mean, in 3-4 years, is Russell Wilson running as much?
Yeah, that's a great counterpoint that maybe this year and the next year he's going to stay as valuable. But when he's 32 or 33 with a big contract, maybe we'll be second-guessing it.
I do think it's just a fascinating concept, the idea that because the rules make it easier to pass, elite passing is less important. I mean, just one more analogy. Imagine you need to get a 70 on the test. It's a pass-fail class. You need a 70, right? If you're paying for someone to cheat for you, Fez, and again, we haven't gotten into your Northwestern admission and all the different rumors swirling about that way back when, but if you would have hypothetically, allegedly paid someone to cheat for you, would you pay for a 98? Or 78 if it's pass fail on a 70.
Well, just the 78, the minimum you need.
Exactly. It sounds like he's speaking from experience, doesn't it? But it brings up the point. Do you need to pay Russell Wilson when could Fitzpatrick on the Patriots win a Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Who's the better quarterback, Fitzpatrick or Nick Foles?
Foles is the better quarterback.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up and tipping off in about 12 minutes from now, it is the NIT Final from Madison Square Garden, Texas, a 1.5-point favorite over Lipscomb.
And listen, let's give Brad a little bit of credit here because he deserves it. You had an amazing trend about Madison Square Garden, semifinals, teams being a little bit, you know, especially the smaller ones, overwhelmed by the moment. What was that trend entering Tuesday's games?
The under in the semifinals of the NIT, 16-2 to the under.
And you cherry-picked amongst the two.
Yep.
Gave it as a best bet.
I did. Texas and TCU, and only about 105 points were scored in that game.
And the other game went under, too.
By 20 points.
So there's two ways to look at it. Is we didn't need all your, like, narrowing, winnowing. But what a trend. What a trend to start.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
All right, you got something on the final.
Yeah, I'm leaning on Lipscomb here, plus the 1.5.
Lean only.
Lean only on Lipscomb. But in that game, it looked like the big city and the big-time atmosphere got to Lipscomb. Lipscomb had one of their worst shooting performances of the entire season against Wichita State. Still ended up getting it done. I think with one game under their belt, it won't be as big of an atmosphere and a bit too big of a moment for them. All the analytics say this is the better team here, but yet you got Lipscomb getting 1.5. Lean on Lipscomb plus 1.5.
What would Haystack think of this?
Oh, are you kidding me? You got Texas and Lipscomb. Lipscomb. What are you talking about, Lipscomb? Give me Texas 1.5? Texas, one of the biggest states in the entire world. I don't know where Lipscomb is. Give me Texas minus 1.5. That's a like. That's a big bet there.
Jonas, you got to know it. Write it down if you forget. Texas, one of the biggest states in the world.
I guess I already knew that. Come on. Haystack Hank and I are close acquaintances. Guys, we've got a doubleheader in the NBA on TNT tipping off at 8 Eastern time. It's the Bucks at the 76ers. Milwaukee, a 5-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik.
I lean to Philadelphia plus the 5. It's all about Milwaukee. Maybe questionable effort the rest of the year. Milwaukee has a 2.5 game lead in the East. I think they may well coast to the number one seed and stop playing as many minutes their starters.
Okay, but that's built into the line. So what the heck are you telling us that's not obvious?
I don't know if it's fully built in line. Milwaukee's laying 5 at Philly. Look at that line, RJ. That is a pretty steep price to be paying for Milwaukee here.
All right, so Milwaukee's favored on the road at Philly. So why not love Philly then?
Philly, it's their horrible spot. Third game in 4 nights, back-to-back third city in 4 nights, and key injuries to Philly as well.
Which injuries?
Embiid is out, and Jimmy Butler is questionable.
Boy, this is one of those games. And listen, some handicappers embrace complexity, but boy, that's a tough one when it comes to all the factors to consider.
Guys, 10:30 Eastern time, the tip. It's the Lakers hosting the Golden State Warriors. Golden State is a 13-point favorite on pregame.com.
And I'm going to lean to Golden State here. What's the book on Golden State? If Golden State is fully motivated, we look to bet them. And we've done so recently. Golden State has a 1.5 game lead on Denver. They have not wrapped up by any means number one seed in the West. So I do think that they're going to be focused in this game. So I'm going to lean to Golden State.
All right, listen, guys, we don't force picks, but three TV games, three leans, little wimpy. So here's what I'm going to commit to. Tomorrow in our final segment, right before 7 o'clock, I'm giving my personal NCAA Final Four best bet. What I'm betting the most on, I'll give it tomorrow. Brad, I tell you, we got a minute or two left. We talked about it yesterday, got a ton of feedback on this. You've got a theory. Some would say a conspiracy theory. I think it's just good thinking.
Yeah, I don't think the NCAA wants Auburn to win the national title. Why? Auburn's one of these few teams that's kind of caught up in this FBI investigation, wiretaps going on. Auburn's had to get rid of a couple of assistant coaches because of it.
So the theory is ultimately, what we know for sure is Auburn's going to get a lot of bad press in the next, you know, as this case is resolved. And there's a real chance there's going to be convictions and ultimately a huge black eye for Auburn.
We have, and you know, where do we see some, you know, maybe this conspiracy playing out? Auburn was one of those two or three teams coming in on Selection Sunday that we said, how in the heck did Auburn get a 5 seed? This team should have been a 3 or 4 seed at worst, and they give them a draw playing Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky.
Yeah, so I actually have a theory on this one. So, Jonas, you go, and then I'm going to give my theory.
Guys, want to let you know that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event.
To me, if something hasn't happened yet, it's all speculation. So if we would have been sitting around Sunday morning, Selection Sunday morning before, and said, you know who I think they're going to stick it to is Auburn. It would have been a lot of theory, a lot of speculation at that point. But if I would say, you know, I'm a skeptic, Brad. What would be the signs? What would be the signs that they are trying to stick it to Auburn? They want Auburn discussions to end. We would say, well, they could be maybe a 3 seed. But certainly a 4. So if they're worse than a 4, that's a sign they're sticking it to them. Well, they're a 5. And oh, by the way, if their brackets is loaded, that might be a sign. And again, go through the 3 last teams they beat.
They had to beat Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. And they shipped them to Salt Lake City for a first round game.
It seems like up to this point, we've seen a massive amount of evidence they're trying to make it hard on Auburn. I'm not sure refereeing or whatever, but I can't imagine it just all of a sudden ends when the spotlight's the brightest.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are Straight Outta Vegas, back tomorrow with a full preview on the Final Four, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.